Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It is about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action, and about the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined. And I love this. The ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. So, this show, sponsored by On Fire Ministries, we try to bring the scripture into every area of life, because God has spoken into every area of life. Every truth that he has written into creation also speaks to every single area of life. And now, more than ever, people are looking for the truth. And I want to start with a very misunderstood, but also sometimes people don't even know it, truth in the scripture that applies for this time. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life of which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Many of you out there have been experiencing struggle over the last 2 years. I know in my own life, I've had to bury many friends here in the last couple of months. Many of us have lost loved ones. Many of us have experienced the threat of government trying to take our jobs. But if Christ lives in us, if our old man, our old self is dead, and Christ lives in us, the Lord of the cattle of a thousand hills, the Lord of the earth, because he now has the title deed, who came down here, gave himself up, emptied himself for each one of us, allowed his blood to be spilled for each one of us to cover even this situation right now that we're all facing. He spilled his blood so there would be comfort, too, for every single person that is experiencing trauma and turmoil. When he said that this opened the way so Holy Spirit could come, the great helper could come, it's also said it's the great comforter. Do we actually live like that is true? That he is the great comforter, that he is the great provider, that he is the great defender? Or do we live like we're just barely hanging on until we get out of here? Right now, in this time, right now, we need to cling to these truths more than ever, and not only for our sakes, but for the sakes of those around us, our friends and our family. We need to speak this truth into their lives as well. Speak comfort into their lives. Speak peace into their lives, despite everything that we're going through. Because if we do that, we are actually living out the kingdom of God. And so as I go through some of the things in the news today, I want you to tonight sit around the table with your family, pray with your family, but do something a little bit different. take communion with your family tonight. Plead a fresh application of the blood of Jesus Christ to whatever situation, whatever trauma, whatever difficulty that you are going through. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over that. And if you have to do it every night, do it every night. Not out of a ritual, but out of a relationship with the Lord and realizing that His truth is not just words, it's a person. A person who died for us on the cross. And actually, if you read it in the original language, He continually is dying for us on the cross. Every moment of every day, we just need to receive that grace, that mercy, and that love. And for some of you, that peace and that joy, where you should have that joy again in your life. And the way to do that is through Jesus Christ. And now, from the front, your daily intelligence briefing. Starting from Jihad Watch out of Norway. Interesting that this really hasn't been all over the place, but there was a bow and arrow attack in Norway. And I want to stop there for a second. It really shows that gun control will be circumvented by the bad guys if they want to circumvent it. How many laws were broken up until the point this guy started shooting bow and arrow at people? He started piercing them with hunting arrows. How many laws were broken up until that moment? The laws didn't stop him. The only thing that stops him is a good guy with a gun. And so out of Norway, Kongsberg, Norway, there was this bow and arrow attack. Five people were murdered. And the guy happened to have been on the terror watch list, yet the United Kingdom's Sun and several other publications, by the way, insist that the motive is unknown, even though he is a recent convert. Wait for it. Wait for it. A recent convert to Islam. They are treating it like a terror attack, like they should. But to say, as the Sun tried to posit, motive unknown, is absurd. Moving next on the international front, Biden shuts down CIA's Iran division. Tehran operations are going to be transferred to the Mossad. It's coming to us from Debka File. President Joe Biden is reported by U.S. intelligence sources on Tuesday as having ordered the shutdown of the CIA's Iran division without explanation. I will give you an explanation. The explanation is that they are literally trying to weaken the United States all over the world. I mean, my goodness, our intelligence services have a purpose. And that is to be on the ground and get real-time information in addition to all the electronic surveillance that's happening around the world. Whew. He's saying it's a tactical move. I would agree with some other critics that say that, no, this is actually a gesture of appeasement for Tehran. Why is it that every single time Obama or Biden, the pretender, do something in the Middle East, it has the effect of emboldening Islamic terrorists? Can somebody please tell me that? And why don't we call what happened in Norway Islamic terrorism, which is what it is? Which brings us to an even more egregious thing on the national or international front. This coming to us from And Magazine, and if you don't know about And Magazine, Sam Faddis Former CIA operative, fantastic analysis. If you've never heard of And Magazine, I would strongly urge you go there. A lot of great articles up here. But one of the articles that's up here, Joe is getting ready to hand the Taliban billions. Quote, he has already released to them tens of millions of dollars worth of U.S. aid money. And then a little bit further down, Taliban and U.S. negotiators are meeting in Qatar, or Qatar by some pronunciations, and discussing this move right now. And what is this move? Well, at the heart of the discussions is the status of some $7 billion in Afghan funds held by the U.S. government, end quote. So quite literally, it wasn't enough that you got some of our service members killed, pretender. Now you want to give the Taliban money in the billions of dollars. It wasn't enough that you got some of our service members killed. It wasn't enough that you give away U.S. equipment and technology. It wasn't enough that you tucked tail and ran without any sort of a plan. It wasn't enough. And now you want to give them money. Every single voter out there, this isn't a party thing, should be absolutely livid over this kind of thing. Livid. And as Christians, emboldening those who are going around rounding up Christians and slaughtering them, persecuting them, raping them, oppressing them. We can't support any of this. We can't support our taxpayer money going to this. And yet this is exactly what the pretender is doing right now. Wow. I'm going to post all of these up on social media right now. And again, if you need to follow me, you can go to @MattShea on Gab. Read it for yourself. Share it with your friends and family. I don't know anybody that could defend this kind of stuff. Moving on to the next thing. This on the national front from Populist Press. Breaking. Biden announces huge new vaccine mandate. Well, is this a new talking point? Because we haven't seen the other one in the Federal Register. So it quite literally does not exist. Or are we just going to throw this out here again to try to get all the businesses to go along with this or try to scare the people? I love this quote from the article. Quote, Joe Biden is becoming everything the Democrats in the media told you Donald Trump was, end quote. I agree 100%. Now, the president announced today, Thursday, that a private sector vaccine mandate would be coming soon. Okay, I need to talk about the law and the Constitution for a second. Okay, so only the legislature can make law. A presidential mandate can only apply, or presidential or an executive order can only apply to the executive branch. So the idea that he thinks he can go into the private sector without any sort of law passed by Congress and signed by the president, the idea that he can even do this without the Congress and the Senate is absurd. And yet this is exactly where he's going with this stuff. Now, it gets even more interesting with the supply chain crisis that is happening. But I want to talk first about another thing, because this is key to understanding what's going on. Right now in the United States of America, what we are witnessing is quite literally they are abandoning the Constitution, which means they are violating their oaths, like the pretender trying to do a mandate in the private sector. They are violating their oaths. They're ignoring the Constitution, and they're undermining the founding fathers at every step. Historically, you know, there are a bunch of slave owners and all this other garbage. People just don't know their history. And I want to talk about that today very briefly. So the big accusation against George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and all the other founding fathers was these were slave owners. And yet, they don't teach this little bit of history. So the Constitution, when it was ratified, prohibited the importation, prohibited the banning of the importation of slaves until 1808. But what they don't tell you is that on January 1st, 1808, the founding fathers' generation voted to ban the importation of slaves into the United States of America, and that became law January 1st, 1808. Go look up the record for yourself. They also don't talk about the original draft of the Declaration of Independence, which Thomas Jefferson himself put forward to the full committee. And in that original draft, it listed as one of the reasons for separating from England that the King of England himself had stopped the founding generation from banning slavery in the United States of America. Quite literally, Jefferson talks about how time and again they would try to legislatively, and one can imply also through civic action, tried to end slavery, and it was the King of England was the one stopping them, and that was one of the reasons that they wanted to break away. Almost nobody teaches this. Go read the original draft of the Declaration of Independence. You'll find this, which now brings us to this article from the New American. Jefferson's statue to be exiled from New York City Hall. Councilman, quote, "It's not who we are as a council." I want you to hear this again. The Jefferson statue is going to be exiled from the New York City Hall, and the councilman says, "It's not who we are as a council." In other words, he is admitting that he is not of the caliber of the founding fathers. I actually agree with this councilman. He is not of the caliber of the founding fathers. He is not of the caliber of Thomas Jefferson. He is not of the caliber of anybody who wrote about our God-given unalienable rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same, who worked to abolish slavery. He is absolutely not of that caliber, 100%. So go check this article out, because this is just a picture of what this Marxist revolution is looking like here in the United States. They quite literally want to remove all history. Thomas Jefferson, they're probably going to go after George Washington. I know in certain places they've already tried to do that. And it's absurd. This is an intentional Marxist tactic to erase history so that we don't know who we are, we don't know where freedom comes from, and we will be more easily controlled by the socialists. This is, you can see this in the history of China. You can see this in the history of Russia. You can see this as far back as socialists tried to do this in Europe, including in France. Now, let's go to the next thing on WorldNet Daily. This is in regards to the supply chain. Quote, Biden turns his back on reporters and refuses to answer questions on supply chain crisis. President Joe Biden refused to answer questions from reporters on Wednesday following remarks that he gave about supply chain shortages that are causing widespread problems throughout the United States. Quote, if the private sector doesn't step up, we're going to call them out and ask them to act, end quote, as if it's the private sector's issue. I read to you the letter from the International Chamber of Shipping, representing 80% of the industry, where they're saying, listen, the supply chain issue is coming from how transportation workers are being treated by, wait for it, all the rules, all the regulations, and they're not talking about the supply chain shortages also being caused by China shutting down entire ports, like the number three port of China, for example, for one COVID case. Now, I have a friend of mine down in Huntington Beach, California. This morning, I was talking to him. He literally said there are 100 freighters at least waiting offshore in a big line. Looks like you could walk right down the decks of these freighters. So something is wrong here. How could you not find other ports, other ways to get ships unloaded? We're Americans. We found ways to do this before on beaches like Normandy, and they didn't even have the ports that we have right now because they were completely destroyed because of the war. You're saying to me we could not find a solution to this? And he then tries to blame it on the private sector and then ignores questions at the end. In addition to that, gas prices are at a 7-year high and rising. And what is the pretender's strategy? To start waging an offensive war, essentially, against domestic energy producers. This coming to us from Just the News. Oil and gas supply is too low to meet U.S. demands. So I'm going to stop there for a second. So we close down oil wells. We make it harder and harder and harder through regulatory programs for oil producers to actually produce energy, for power plants to produce energy. And he halts the new leases of federal land for this purpose. He halts the Keystone Pipeline. And gas prices are going through the roof. And whose fault is it? Is it somebody else? It's his fault. And this is what's critical about this. This isn't an accident. He's not stupid. This is intentional. What they're trying to do through this Marxist revolution is to destroy the U.S. energy sectors so that the United States is weak. The answer to this is the free market, not socialism. This is socialism. Socialism is what is hurting the economy. The free market will flip this around very quickly. And part of what their strategy is to create chaos inside the system. For example, through, vaccine mandates. Now, the Southwest pilots doing a fantastic job, but a pilot shortage now looms over this fight, but they caused the fight. You don't need to do mandates. Anybody who argues for mandates not only doesn't understand the Constitution of the United States or of the state of Washington, and let me be specific here, read Article 1, Section 11, Absolute Freedom of Conscience in All Matters of Religious Sentiment. Read Article 26, the only irrevocable part of the Washington State Constitution, which says there should be perfect toleration of religious sentiment, and no person shall be molested in their person or property on account of their mode of worship. In other words, what they put in their body is a mode of worship, been recognized in the law for several hundred years, actually. The vaccine mandates are intended to create an artificial crisis because they know people aren't going to go along with this scam. It's going to create crises in the healthcare system, in the energy sectors, in the military, in law enforcement, first responders, and more and more and more. They're trying to create chaos because this is part of an offshoot of what's called the Cloward-Piven strategy. And you can go read about this later, which is, in other words, a strategy to overwhelm the system so it collapses. Then the Marxists will try to blame capitalism and replace it with socialism, when in fact this is all socialism that is creating the problem to begin with. And socialism is literally rooted in evil. Karl Marx very arguably was a Satanist. You can read it in his poetry. Go read his poetry for yourself. And this Gospel of the Antichrist in Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto, abolish the family, abolish private property rights, abolish the nation's borders, abolish all truth and morality. All of these things are intended to weaken, make easier to control, and then eventually enslave a people. And it's our job to resist it. Which brings me to the next outgrowth of this. California's Governor Newsom bans the sale of gas-powered equipment that uses small motors. Well, What uses small motors? Generators, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, weed whackers. So he doesn't want lawn maintenance now? Assembly Bill number 1346, which he signed into law, prohibits the sale of gas-powered leaf blowers and all of these things. I don't think they understand how this is going to impact the economy. Are you going to use an electric weed whacker in the middle of the forest trying to maintain the trails and the parks? You going to use an electric chainsaw to cut trees in the middle? And the interesting part about this, essentially, this is going to eliminate generators. So when there were widespread blackouts from the massive mismanagement of the power grid in California, now people aren't going to have power at all. They're intentionally trying to create a crisis here, folks. People, I remember I brought this up actually in the legislature, I don't know, it was like 8 years ago, that they were going to eventually try to ban all small engines because they had introduced a bill at that time to do that. People were like, oh, quit trying to make people afraid. I wasn't making people afraid. I'm just saying this is what their plan is, what they're literally going to try to do. And here it is now, 8 years later, they're doing it in California. And don't be surprised if the insanity doesn't come to Washington State. And it'll be our job to come against that. Stop it in Jesus' name. All right. Want to talk lastly about one other thing. This is key on this point. Forward Observer does a fantastic job of kind of giving analysis on this stuff. The majority of electric lawn work components come from, wait for it, China, including the batteries. So not only the additional strain on California's power grid could delay implementation. So in other words, it's going to be electric on an already strained grid, but you can't have a generator in case there's widespread blackouts. Everybody following me here? Great analysis from Forward Observer on that point. This is, again, part of just this march down the road of insanity. And it's time that we all come against it. And one way you can do that is tomorrow, Friday, 5 o'clock, Spokane City Hall. Be brave or be enslaved. We're going to do another rally down there. We've got a couple of great guest speakers coming in. And we are going to stand with those people who are going to lose their jobs on Monday and provide some solutions to them. For those of you that have already heard me talk about this, the business class here at On Fire Ministries to help people start their own businesses being put on by a Whitworth professor, we are going to help as many people as we possibly can. So contact us through social media. Our producer here in the studio, Travis, does a fantastic job of answering and forwarding those things. So reach out to us. And we're looking at already some Zoom capabilities for this for people down in the Tri-Cities and Yakima Prosser area and Wenatchee and Moses Lake. So let us know quickly if this interests you. But this is one solution. Start your own business and start your own business in the sector where they don't have any moral courage in that industry. And claim that industry for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If we do that, it doesn't matter what they do. We will stand on the Constitution, and we will help our friends and neighbors in their dire time of need. Again, tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock, Friday, down at the Spokane City Hall. We look forward to seeing you all there. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us, and make sure you follow us at Matt Shea on Gab, MeWe, Parler, everywhere else. Just pick your favorite social media platform and go there. I'm on there. But more importantly, Patriot Radio is on there. And if you absolutely have to, you can go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. Like the page and share it with your friends and family. We are also on Amazon, Podbean, iTunes, and Spotify. And share those with your friends and family as well as the rebroadcast across the entire ACN network at 9 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. All right. It is my pleasure to introduce once again the great Glenn Morgan from We the Governed. We're bringing him back on again right now to discuss the article that he broke during the show on Tuesday. Actually, I got it like right at the beginning of the show in regards to what's going on down in Prosser, Washington. Glenn Morgan, it's always great to have you on Patriot Radio. How are you doing, my friend?
Matt, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the air.
Okay, this is weird, okay? This Prosser City Council candidate kind of running under the radar, and then all of a sudden, some information comes out that should really alert voters to who this person really is. If you could, with that intro, let the listeners know, what did you uncover?
Well, and you know, what I published in my article was basically, and I published some of the source documents, but she had been, this gal, Maricela Sanchez, who's running for the city council there. She had actually been arrested in North Dakota back in 2016 for apparently the charges at the time were threatening people with fire and explosives, riot, and resisting arrest, you know. And so it was part of that effort of they were attempting to attack the pipeline up there. And it was that I published just so that people knew that. And I mean, but the more significant thing than that was just the fact that she was a vice president of FutureWise. And, you know, FutureWise, as I've mentioned before on the air here and many times in the articles in the past, it's just a really nasty organization that's designed mainly to attack property rights, to attack rural living, to attack people who have single family homes or cars. And it's just a real nasty organization. And whenever anybody is associated with that organization and they get into any kind of a position of power in government, it really is destructive for the community. And so I was just simply pointing out that, you know, this is not a good person, you know, to have in government in any capacity at all. And so I just simply wanted to let people know who she was.
So one of the interesting parts about this is that she was actually helping to start and was a member of the Green Party in mid-Columbia. The Green Party is a lot of people don't even know what it is. But in Europe, I mean, this is a far, far left organization that really advocates the taking away of property rights and also the massive regulatory schemes that lock down how people that own property can use their property.
Correct. And a lot of it ends up being, you know, it's a very extreme movement. And I did post a photo that's since been scrubbed, apparently, from their website. But I had a photo of her sitting at the Green Party meeting while they're organizing and planning their future strategies. And so I thought that was useful, you know, just to show. And I think that's important, you know, that when you got somebody like this running in the town of Prosser, it's not downtown Seattle. You know, it's not it's not a place like that. I mean, it's downtown Prosser. So I just thought that people should know, and this is who's running for office, you know. And in her case, you know, I did point out, I mean, it's, you know, lest people think I have some kind of a, you know, dog in this particular fight. I'm not, you know, the guy that she's running against is no great shakes either. But, you know, sometimes you have to pick between totally crazy and, you know, and the lesser of two evils. And you really have a situation here where, you know, she's terrible. She would obviously do really bad things on that council. And, you know, one of the things I didn't cover much in the article, but she's also currently on the Planning Commission and has been doing harmful things, you know, just there and, you know, falling through. I mean, she believes that she doesn't like property rights, and so she's happy to take away other people's property rights. And, you know, that's a big part of who she is. The other funny thing that I did think was when she was arrested, she was trying to get indigent legal services, even though she made, according to the documents she filed, $28,000 a year. you know, which was, of course, you're not going to qualify for indigent legal services if you make that much money. And they rejected her, but it was just, you know, it was just silly, that whole thing out there. And the only reason why they didn't end up charging her is it looks like they overwhelmed the local, you know, it's a small county in North Dakota, and they overwhelmed that county government with, you know, legal, just a wide range of legal motion practice, you know, just overwhelmed them. And it looks like they finally decided they couldn't handle the legal battle, and the prosecutors ended up just dismissing all the charges. But, you know, it was in the news, and she was also one of those people who left the big piles of garbage behind at that protest, which did make national news at the time. So, you know, a lot of this is just about, you know, do what I say, not what I do. And, you know, I do find that hypocrisy is pretty normal for many of these people on the left. And, you know, she's an anesthesiologist. I don't know about you, but I sure as heck wouldn't want her putting me under.
Well, I would not either. I find it a little odd that, you know, somebody who was an anesthesiologist licensed in New York all of a sudden washes up on the shores of Prosser, Washington. That's a little strange in and of itself. But I do want to say that, you know, right now, Glenn, with the gas prices, I mean, we were just talking about this earlier in the show, just the news, gas prices at a 7-year high, and yet they're halting the Keystone Pipeline and halting new leases on federal land and increasing the regulatory burdens and all this stuff. I mean, quite literally, they're making it so the poorest among us would have to spend the most money just to try to go to work in the morning.
Sure. And I mean, I think that that's one thing people have to remember is that I've never actually seen the left do anything to help the poor. And especially these environmental, you know, when they're taken from an environmental angle, they like to say that they are, but I've never once seen them do anything that actually helps the poor in any situation. It always makes life more expensive. Their policies are always harmful for those with the lowest income. And, you know, that just seems to be kind of a standard, standard practice for these guys. And, you know, they don't mind the hypocrisy, right? It's always about rules for thee, but not for me. And, you know, that's really what we see here. And, you know, the same thing with her, you know, fellow FutureWise person, Hillary Franz, who is now the, you know, public lands commissioner. She's another classic kind of person that, you know, a trust fund, wealthy person who gets in charge. And, you know, her idea of forest management is let it burn.
Exactly. We're seeing it now every single summer. And people are getting really disturbed by it, but it's a very easy solution. Back in the early 1900s, forest fires began to ramp up. And then in the late 19-teens, early 1920s, they put up watchtowers and began managing the forest by thinning the forest and thinning the fuel load. And all of a sudden you can watch the fire graph drop off a cliff and remain that way until the 1990s, when they began these policies again of closing the roads, not managing the forests, and just letting them burn. And it's incredible they would actually even continue to advocate something like this.
It is. It is. And that's, but, you know, with her, I think it's with this gal, Sanchez there, you know, it's even more kind of pernicious because she's not, you know, she's going into a city. She, if you look at her Facebook page, she makes it look like she's just kind of warm and fuzzy and, you know, wants the city to remain Prosser and all that stuff. But that's really not true. Her policies and her approaches is to eliminate the ability of people who live in the city of Prosser to have any control over their own destiny and to take that away from them by implementing this national sort of aggressive environmental, you know, aggressive environmental policies that really don't benefit anybody except for her and her friends, apparently. And it's a very strong ideological angle that they're pushing there.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. One of the other interesting parts about this is that FutureWise was very much involved in coming against property tax reform. Huge issue here in Washington State, you know, several years ago, where people were just, they're drowning in property taxes. Quite literally, you'd have these widows, they had the property paid off. In other words, they had no mortgage on it at all, but they weren't able to make the property tax payments, and they were facing losing their homes, and some of them did lose their homes over this. And yet, FutureWise was all against any sort of property tax reform or lowering the burden on these widows. It's another, you know, question: how deep does this thing go?
Well, I don't think there's any limit to what they'd be willing to do to people if they thought they could get away with it. And again, it's this whole central planning scheme about they know how to make you live your life the way they want you to, and you don't really have a say in the matter. And, you know, that's very, it's always very dangerous, right? They really don't want people to participate in this process. They really want to resist it. They want to make it harder and more expensive for you to live. So that pretty much all you have are the elites who are able to afford any, get to live any of these places. And that's really what we see going on here.
Yeah, I really wonder, too. I want to ask this question, that have you received any sort of emails or anything from FutureWise? Have they reached out to you over this?
No, but this isn't the first time I've gone after them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, could you give a couple of other examples of what's been going on with FutureWise on the west side of the state?
Well, you know, primarily the Hertz decision is, a lot of people know about the private wells. That originally came out of a lawsuit that FutureWise funded and ran and managed. And I think that there's a lot of people that don't really realize kind of where that's, if you're wondering why you can't put a private well in, or why you're struggling with it, or why the cost now of getting water is so much higher, it's directly as a result of the decisions and strategic decisions that this organization has had in Washington State. And, you know, they've been focused. They are not backing down. And this type of push has been going on for quite some time. So, you know, they've been pretty consistent about it, taking away our freedoms and our property rights at every opportunity, using any excuse they can. And they're relentless. You know, they're always there. And I think that we have to remember that we always have to, you know, these are groups that are not going to stop just because they lose one battle. So you got to keep pushing back. And, you know, and for God's sake, you don't want people that are involved in these groups to be getting into government.
No, and it's also not just on the kind of locking down private property side, too. You bring up in the article, and I want you to comment on this, that these professional lobbyists who work for organizations like FutureWise, I see that Whatcom County coined the term Future Lies, but they tend to, and I love this term, benefit from the mega grifting operations like light rail. Could you go into that a little bit? What is happening that we may not see over here in Eastern Washington? Although I do know a couple of people running for office in the city council level over here that supported gas tax increases and also some were alluding to supporting some of these light rail boondoggles if they ever came over to Eastern Washington, but we just don't see it over here. What is this stuff about?
Mostly that's just generally about grifting operations on land, transportation development. They'll buy land, or actually they'll take it by eminent domain sometimes. They'll get it, and they'll temporarily use it, and they flip it to their friends to do transit-oriented development. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big, it's a way of getting really complex, expensive developments done for a real low cost of entry, benefiting only those politically connected who know how to play that game. And FutureWise and organizations like that play that game all the time. They're happy to do that. They don't, you know, they don't stand for the people at all. They stand for a real elitist view of the world. And they make sure that friends that are, you know, politically tied in profit handsomely from it with their relationship with government and all that. So that's what they do. They do it all the time.
I want to go back to Maricel Sanchez very quickly. Glenn, you also bring up that she has some ties, especially supporting somebody running for the mayor of Seattle position. Could you comment on that?
Yeah, I went through her, who she donated money to, because I think that's helpful. If you look at somebody who's donated cash to other politicians, that'll give you a sense of where they're coming from. And I linked all those documents in the article, the C3 documents that are with Public Disclosure Commission that show who she donated money to. And one of the ones she donated the most to early this year was the mayor's race in Seattle, which, let's face it, there's no good people on the ballot there either. But she picks the craziest, and that's who she gives the most money to. And, and that seems to be a consistent profile when I looked at the other people that she had also supported with her money.
So this is just kind of a consistent profile. She's aligned with far left elements. She supports far left elements with her donations, and now running for city council, hoping to be under the radar, I would think.
Right.
All of a sudden, this gets exposed.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, people at least need to know the truth, and they got to decide.
Well, I want to tell you that this is one of the most shared articles that I have seen ever. As far as Patriot Radio is concerned, it is over 310 shares as of right now. This thing looks like it has gone completely viral. Thanks to your diligence and also your courage. I know a lot of times you've reported on things like this and you've taken a hit for it. But you keep reporting on it. What keeps driving you, Glenn? And what could you give as a word of encouragement to those who maybe have information out there, but they just haven't brought it forward and they haven't reported it?
Well, I think the big thing is the truth that wins out in the end, right? So I think that you always have to be willing to expose the truth and don't let other people try to intimidate you from doing that. If it's the truth, people need to know it. And that's all you can do, you know, and that's kind of one of my missions, and that's what I'm trying to do here.
Amen. Glenn Morgan, I know you've got to catch a flight right now. Blessings to you. Really appreciate your reporting on this very important issue. God bless you and keep up the fight.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt.
All right. So, everybody, that was Glenn Morgan, We the Governed. You can check out his website and this article, wethegoverned.com. Just click on the City of Prosser, Future Lies and the Candidates of Future Wise. That's the title of the article. And check out the primary sources that he put out there. This is just a taste of the local elections. A lot of these people who are aligned with Marxist organizations and those who espouse Marxist principles will run in elections like this at the local level under the radar. They'll seem like they're kind of conservative and not, you know, but they run under the radar. And we've got several of those here in Spokane County that are going to be exposed at the rally tomorrow as well, because they've been standing with the Never Trump crowd. They've been standing against American interests. They have been standing with the vaccine mandates and all the other mandates that have been a part of this whole debacle. And so as Christians, we need to make sure we have informed votes. People play on the goodness of Christian Americans. They play on the goodness of patriots. And, oh, I know so-and-so, but they really don't know so-and-so when they're voting. And these people will just play on it, and then they get in, and they will hire people of like mind, Marxist mindset, which is un-American. They'll hire them for bureaucrat positions. They will begin slowly implementing Marxist policies that go toward that second chapter of the Communist Manifesto, abolishing of private property rights. They'll make it so hard to even own property or to have a ranch or to have a farm. And it's so fascinating to me that people that are part of the food freedom movement fall for some of this stuff from these folks, even though they believe there should be food freedom, that we should grow things locally. Well, it's really hard to grow things locally when you got onerous regulations that are coming in at the city level through city council candidates that don't really believe in private property rights, that are associated with the likes of the Green Party and the Green Party's own associations with radical environmentalists who want to just lock down the forest, watch them burn over the summer. So as Christians, I want to go through this again. I went through it on Tuesday. I want to go through this again. The scripture is very clear that we have unalienable rights, unalienable, that they can't be leaned, they can't be clouded, they can't be muddied, that we get these rights from God. Where does the right to property come from? Well, it comes from the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not covet your neighbor's stuff too. What's so fascinating is all of socialism is built on the exact opposite, taking from one group of people in the former Soviet Union, from the Kulaki, and giving it to another group of people. was based on the politics of envy. Nobody could have too much or too nice of things. I love it how my wife Victoria puts it. Socialism makes everybody poor. Scripture is clear that there is a right of property, a right to own property. And in fact, if you go all the way back to Genesis, we are commanded to take dominion. In other words, steward creation. We're supposed to manage well the forests. We're supposed to manage well the land and grow food from it. We're supposed to manage well our yards so that we can grow things in our yards and maybe even give some garden stuff to our neighbors and fruit to our neighbors. This is part of being a Christian. The right to life, because a lot of these people also believe in abortion. Where does that come from? Thou shalt not murder. In other words, thou shalt not take innocent human life. And yet, even though we are all made in the image of God, that somehow, according to people in the Green Party, I guess doesn't mean the most innocent, the most vulnerable among us, those in the womb. The right to liberty. The idea that we have the ability to do what God has asked us to do. And that's the difference between freedom and liberty. Freedom is the ability to do whatever you want to do. Liberty is the ability to do whatever God has commanded you to do. Make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel to all creation. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Pray deliverance over those that are held captive. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. And love your neighbor as yourself. And right now, what we see happening is government has stepped into that role, and we are actually allowing government to try to love our neighbors for us, when in fact, the right of liberty, and all throughout Scripture, it says that we should actually be loving our neighbor on a personal, individual, relational basis. And you have the right to defend all of those things. And that comes most poignantly from the book of Esther, chapters 9 and 10, and also most poignantly from Luke 22, verse 32 and on. Because these things, the right of life, the right of property, the right of liberty, they are worth defending. And if we really love our communities, we really love our neighbors, we cannot let people who are under the influence of an evil paradigm, communism and socialism, to be determining the policies in our communities. In fact, we are called to be the ecclesia. We are called as Christians to do this at the local level. And in fact, the ecclesia was over a city. Paul, when he writes his letters, he writes them to cities. Because Christians are supposed to be allowing the light of the Lord to shine through us throughout all those cities, all those places. And not just allow somebody else to do it for us, but do it personally. So tonight, as you pray, as you take communion as a family, I want everybody to take a moment and think about what neighbor, I'm talking literally outside your house, what neighbor do you not know? And go meet them as a family. Go bring them a nice gift basket and go meet them. Get to know them as a family. Get to know those people that are running for elected office on a personal level. And you may not totally agree with them, but love them. Give them information, show them the truth, talk to them about the principles and truth that God has not only written into creation, but he's revealed in his Holy Scripture. Show them. But they have to know you care about them first before they're going to be willing to listen. And I think a lot of us, as Christians, myself included over the years, have skipped that first step that we have to let people know we actually do care about them. And that part of caring and loving for people is to prevent people who are under the influence of evil policies and ideologies from spreading those things around the community. That's real love. We all at our core, we want to see our neighbor, we want to see our family succeed in life. We want to see them as Christians fulfill their destiny, the destiny that God has for them in the kingdom. And that destiny was written before the beginning of time. And they have words in a book, a story that we can all be a part of if we just get to know our neighbor, if we just get involved in this thing, if we just love on them. I had the opportunity to pray over a young man today who was really struggling. And I just wanted to love on him and just say, man, I know you're going through a hard time right now, but you're not alone. We're here with you. We're here together. And we will walk with you through this. Too often, I think, as Christians, we have thrown people to the side when we were supposed to have walked through them or walked with them through their struggle. Walked with them through their struggle. You know, pray with them through the hardest times and the bitter watches of the night. Prayed with them through the death of a family member or the loss of a job, and not just said, oh, how are you doing? Do you need anything? But actually pray with them and invest in them and sow into them. That's what it means to love your neighbor. And also that's what it means to bless God and allow him to bless others through your actions. And for all of you that have been listening on Patriot Radio over the years, you know that this is at the center of everything that we're doing. And so thank you very much for joining me today on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you. May he truly make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight, but do it in love.